religious response.
Theo Massimus. Tonight's show is sponsored anonymously. I want to thank the person or persons that have sponsored tonight for the reason that they could think in their mind now. I will tell you, Baruch Hashem, that we had our shir, Baruch Hashem, a tremendous hashbah when people come and learn Torah together. We davened last week for a chola, who should continue to have a refuah shleima, Shlomo ben Penina. And as I put in the email, unfortunately, at that point he was gravely ill, and Mamish was told, the family was told already that this was it. And unbelievably, he woke up a few days ago and asked for his family, and it was just an amazing thing. It's going to be a long recovery, but sometimes you see the nisim and nafleis of the Rebbe Shalom right in front of you, as we'll discuss tonight. So those things...
We don't only do shatkanas.
Right.
We also do it for shleimas now.
Exactly. So those things really, we have to speak more about them. Unfortunately, we've had a terrible rut over the last few weeks of tremendous tragedies, specifically in our community and in our wider community as well. So when you hear stories like this, you should... certainly be the Melech Yosher for Klal Yisrael. I believe that through the years, as every year we've given a shir, something about Yom HaAtzmaut, so every year I must tell you, I think this is probably the most difficult shir that I give. And that's why Larry's not here. And the reason why it is that because it's a very difficult shir to put together. There's a lot to be said, and this being the last year, Mr. Shem, I mean this, that I'm going to have this perspective of an outsider. So I thought we would learn over some things that will inspire me. And Mr. Shem, in less than 48 hours, I'll be in Eretz Yisrael celebrating the end of Yom HaAtzmaut. And Mr. Shem will go into Shabbos. I hope to daven in a minyan where I was told that they'll be saying Hallel, because as we know, Heyer is on Shabbos. Whatever, we'll see what happens. Hopefully, I'm sure there'll be a story there. So the first thing is that I've never spoken about the topic, surprisingly, of the religious response to Yom HaAtzmaut. And what I'm talking about is not about a topic which I refuse to ever discuss in depth, and that is, of course, saying Hallel and Yom HaAtzmaut. The reason why is that I'm not allowed to speak about it because of my back and forth through the years of my life. And those of you that, Baruch Hashem, did not know me, in high school, so this was a hot topic in the school that I was in, the yeshiva, quote unquote, that I attended. So when I was a senior, when I became more aware of Baruch Hashem, the background that I come from is a very Tzioni background. I pointed out a number of times. So my grandfather on my mother's side, Rav Yaakov Weinrib. So Rav Yaakov Weinrib was well known in the Hakamas HaMadina. He wrote an op-ed, he wasn't getting paid for it, but he wrote an op-ed in the Allgemeine Journal telling them why they were totally off base speaking against Hakamas HaMadina. I don't speak Yiddish, unfortunately, and I can't read Yiddish, but I know those articles that I was able to look at and just look at, and it really is an inspiration, and certainly for my parents and my in-laws as well, certainly my other grandmas as well. This was a very, very important to me. So we got a new Rosh Yeshiva the last year, and he wasn't as well known for his support of the day of Yom HaAtzmaut. And I went shrike chai v'chayim about Hallel with a bracha and gantam maisa, the whole thing. So certainly had absolutely no knowledge of really what was behind everything, and I made a whole terrible taram. It certainly inappropriate. Happened to be that there was an oval davening in the minyan who was really, really anti-Zionistic. And he told me, he said, listen, I'm an Ovil, so I'm going to daven for the Omid. You have your whole Yom HaAtzmaut and do whatever you want, and I'll step down. It happened to be, it was a Thursday. I'm going to step down, and you could go ahead and say Hallel, then I'll take over after. And I thought that was a great idea. So I'm about to go up to say Hallel, and he steps 2 steps back from the Omid, and he says, V'hurachum yechaper ovayim, and I flipped out. I flipped out. So I've changed since then. I've become a little bit more number one, I believe, accepting of all the different shittos. But it's not something that I want to speak about. But what I really want to speak about is what should be the firm response to Yom HaAtzmaut, and certainly what we know to be the firm response to Yom HaAtzmaut, and how do we counter that. So tonight's shiur comes from a number of different areas that we'll discuss, one of which is notably a kuntras that during Chol HaMoed my father received from the yeshiva Ateret Yerushalayim, which is actually Ateret Kohanim. I'm not sure why they changed their name. A lot of Maimorim for Rav Aviner, of course, who was a very close Talmud to Rabbi Yehuda Cook, as well as a lot of Maimorim that I've read over the last few days from Rabbi Yehuda, from different various articles, and articles as well from Yeshivat Har Etzion, and specifically a few shiurim that I had the zechus of hearing over the last few days from Rav Zalman Malamed, who is a Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva Beit El. So that gives you all that, and then we'll bring in, of course, some YU Torah as well. So the first thing I want to bring in is a little chassidish, and that is, we gave a shiur, I believe, last year, or 2 years ago, about the new enactment, which we find Yom HaAtzmaut is on Shabbos this year. So always when Yom HaAtzmaut was on Shabbos, it was never celebrated on Shabbos because of Chilul Shabbos. And that's something that we have to appreciate, and we don't probably appreciate living in America, because certainly Ruba de Ruba, the people that celebrate Yom HaAtzmaut in America, are Orthodox or from, and the Chilul Shabbos is not as much. But as we see already tonight, what happens is that the dancing could lead into Shabbos. And then came the Shiloh, what happens when Yom HaAtzmaut is on other days of the week? So what was it? It was, if I'm not mistaken, Monday. If it's on Monday, so already on Motzei Shabbos, as they had tonight, you have the Tekkes in the Kotel. And all these people were driving so that they could make it there enough time so when Shabbos is over, they're there from all different places in the Chil Shabbos. So they came out with a Psak Halacha that now they made it, again, it could be on all these different days. Lo Adu Rosh. So it's hardly actually ever, Yom HaAtzmaut is actually hardly ever on Hei Iyar itself. So that, of course, is a shiur that we gave within itself, Rav Aaron Salvechik and Rav Meshulam Roth as a tshuva, where they are, Rav Shechter as well, opposed to celebrating the holiday any day but Yom HaAtzmaut of Hei Iyar itself. Because there's a mesugal, as we'll see at the end of the shiur, time to Hei Iyar in itself. One possibility of this mesugal time is generally Sfiras Omer. If you, anybody who's ever gone to YU for Yom HaAtzmaut, or you go tomorrow night to Romer, so they usually have those booklets that you daven from. So those booklets obviously were created many years ago before this, and they always have the Sfiras Omer of the 20th day. So that's obviously created some issues, because you're not yoytze if you count the wrong day, even in light of my shiur last week. So generally, it's supposed to be Hayom Esrim Yom Shehem Shnei Shuvos Vishisha Yomim LaOmer, and that is the Yisod of Yisod Shevet Tferes. So I believe we've spoken out before the importance of the Tikkun Hamidos. Last week we mentioned the Ramban, who's very into the Tikkun Hamidos. I did not mention the Zohar. The Zohar takes a kind of an opposite approach of what this time period we're in now, Sfiras HaOmer, is. He takes the opposite approach that is actually a mourning period, because Bnei Yisrael should have received the Torah right after Pesach was over. They couldn't, because they were on the 49th level of Tumah. They needed each day to be mechaper the Averos that they did. And therefore, the Zohar says, that's why we say the Tefillah after, and we say these Yisoidos should be Mesakin and Armidos. Those that follow the Shita of the Zohar actually commemorate Avelos the entire time. They start from either the second day of Pesach or from after Pesach, and they won't shave until Shloshes Mei Hagbalah. They take the full approach because there's an Avelos. This is actually helps out a lot, because it sets a precedent for the Sfiras HaOmer that we commemorate, where a lot of people have issues with many of the chumras that we've accepted upon ourselves during Sfiras HaOmer itself. And of course, if we have time, we'll say some of the humorous stories about those, what should you do, what's the minhag about shaving on Yom HaAtzmaut, so those things. But one of the Yisoides is Yisod Shevet Tferes. So I heard we don't have many Hasidic Rebbe's in YU, so Rabbi Reichman is known as the Hasidic Rebbe of YU. So Rabbi Reichman has very nice Yisod, which he had based on many different Hasidic Svarim. That the week that we commemorate Tferes, so Tferes is beauty, is honor, is beauty. And Yisod, of course, as we know, the word Yisod is a foundation. So he said that we learn out that the Yom HaAtzmaut is the foundation of beauty. The highest level is the end of Sfiras HaOmer, when we're already on the level that we can say Malchus. So we say Malchus Shetaferes, that's the culmination of working on our Midos to the level where we've reached Malchus. Yisod is the foundation. We understand that we need to have beauty and the further Midos, but it's the foundation of that. And therefore, that's what we believe Hakama Samadina is. There is very few people you will find on the religious camp who says that even though there's a machlokes, you say Reishis Michas Kol Hasenu Tehei, but if you believe in Reishis Michas Kol Hasenu, that does not mean that it's the most perfect model that it could be. But what do we do believe? It's beauty. It's Yesod Shivat Tiferes. It is the foundation of what will lead to the ultimate beauty, which will be Malchus Shivat Tiferes, which will be that ultimate level. So that's something that we just want to take in mind. So what's a little bit shocking is the fact that many see zero significance in Yom HaAtzmaut as a quote-unquote religious holiday. That being said, that there's no significance in the fact that there was a Hakamas Medina. So just two proofs that is blatantly incorrect is the fact that we've spoken about this before. The Shulchan Aruch and Simon Tov Kuf Samach Aleph Paskins Haroi Ari Yehuda Bechorbana Omer Ari Kodesh and he has to do Kriya. Right? So we know nowadays we are normally Noeg, unless there are different Kumars, of course, out there. But the common minhag is that we rip Kriya only when? Only when we see the Makom HaMikdash Bechorbana. And Rav Moshe is a tshuva on this. What's the reason? So comes along the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah says exactly the same words, Bechorbana, source number two, Afal Pi Sheyoshev Bahem Yisrael, Kevon Shumas Salam Mishalem Aleihem, Merkei Chorban. What is the definition of Chorban? That even if Jews are actually living in Eretz Yisrael, if there's a Goyish government and they're ruling over them, that's called Chorbana. Zuck Rav Moshe, and others have said this, even based on the Achronim themselves, have pointed this out. However, if you had a situation where a government that is run by Jewish people, whether they be religious or not, so then you don't rip Kriya on Ari Yehuda, right? So the Rav has a different approach to this, but this is the way that many Charedim hold. They don't recognize the Medina as anything, but on the other hand, they recognize it enough not to rip Kriya on Ari Yehuda, based on the Yesod that there is a government, there's something going on, there's a change here. So that's Yesod number one. Again, there's a whole shiur you can give within itself about this whole fundamental idea of so what has changed over here and what is the difference. And furthermore, we see in the Gemara here on Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, very interesting idea. And that is that we know, of course, this famous Gemara, the Amar Rav, Rav Chana, so we know this famous idea, we quote him the name of Zechariah, Korma Hashem Tzvako, Soma Reviv, Soma Chamishi, Soma Shvi, Soma Asiri, Elevates Yehuda, L'Sosalam Semachar. In Mirz Hashem, we will be zoicha to a time where the fast days as we know it, except for Tisha B'Av, right, even though Tisha B'Av itself will be L'Sosalam Simcha, we'll remember Shavuot Sabbatamus and Asar V'Teves, right, and Som Gedalia, we'll remember them as Sosalam Simcha. Karlut Som, V'Kara Luhu, Sosalam Simcha, V'Zman Shiyesh Shalom. When there's a time of Shalom, of peace, you L'Sosalam Simcha. That is a time where it's going to be of Sosalam Simcha. Ein Shalom Som. Right? When there's no peace, so of course that's the time that we fast. And this is halacha l'maisa actually. So if b'shas ha-shmad the som, and she'ain shmad, and when there's no shmad, there is shalom. So when the Jews are under persecution, there's som, and there isn't. So this comes out halacha l'maisa. What's halacha l'maisa? You might not realize this. In that we actually, our fast days, are degraded to the level because of the fact, Zuk Rashi in source number 4, she'ay shalom, she'ain yidei ha-goyim, al Yisrael, that they don't have, the Goyim do not have their hold on the Jewish people, Zuk Rashi, therefore that's considered a Shalom time. Now we're not talking about, I know what peace is, peace, this is that, Condoleezza Rice and all those people, so it's not talking about what that type of peace is, but if you have a situation where the Goyim are not on top of you, that's called Shalom. I will admit, the Rambam disagrees with this, and the Rambam says, aim Shalom until Yom HaMashiach. When the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, that's what we're referring to. That's what Gemara is referring to over here. However, we actually take the approach, actually it's interesting, the Ger Rebbe, so he explains the Rambam and says, no, the Rambam actually has to hold like Rashi. Why? Because the Rambam points out that the famous question, during the second Beis HaMikdash, did they fast on Tisha B'Av? And we know that they did fast on Tisha B'Av. Why? Because, he said, majority of the time, the government was not a firm government. And therefore, they had to fast because the Shilton was not Yisrael. So it looks like it's like Rashi. Okay, so technical reasons. So how does this come out halacha l'maisa? Very big halacha l'maisa. Except for Tisha B'Av, we do not commemorate the fast day kitikuno. What's the tikkun of a fast day? It starts from the night and goes until the next night. The famous 25-hour fast day. Or 24 and something. And that is that so, and furthermore, the inuyim of the fast day that we have on Tisha B'Av would apply on all these fast days. Furthermore, by Ma'ariv already, you should say on Einu. The fast day should start at night. So because we're not Shas HaShman, this is a whole machloikas in the Rishonim. Again, this is just a little bit just to discuss. But the Rishonim discuss what is Shas HaShman. There's a chubus that are written about during the times of the Holocaust, whether or not, in fact, there should have been a takana that we should fast starting at night on Shavuot and Batamas and all these different fast days. Some actually thought this should be halacha l'maisa. But the bottom line becomes that if you have a government where the Jews feel safe enough, so there is a havamina, there shouldn't be these fast days. The truth is that Rashi rejects this for a technical reason, which we'll actually see in the Minchas Chinuch, and that he says that when you don't have Rov HaTzibur be'eretz Yisrael, so we can't be knowing this. And Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zoicha that, through nefesh b'nefesh, more and more people are coming to Eretz Yisrael. There could be a time where we'll have to take this Gemara at face value. But already we do take it a little bit at face value. The fact that we're not in Shas HaShmad already, so there's something to be said for that. Now, there's a very interesting point to be made about the whole, of course, Yom HaAtzmaut in itself. And, of course, the famous idea is that, again, if you take the idea number one, so hopefully I've refuted choice number one. Choice number one is that when it comes to the holiday of Yom HaAtzmaut, to say that there's no significance to a Jewish government, I think we could point out is incorrect. The second question becomes, of course, is as we said we wouldn't discuss tonight, is the whole idea of Hallel. How does Hallel fit into play with the day itself? So some want to argue that it doesn't even get off the ground, because when we discuss Hallel, Hallel has absolutely, you can't say Hallel, right? Because it's not Chanukah, it's not Purim. That's the only takanas you're allowed to have. So it comes along the Minchas Chinuch here, actually in our parsha, the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvahs Reish Pei Dalet in Parshas Emor, and he's talking about Agol Hilchos Tevo. So he has a whole back and forth, the Gemara that talks about Megillah. He says here in source number 5, Hinei, there's a Sarach in the Rambam. He says that there's a steer in the Rambam, because the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah Posek, the Rav Nachman in the Gemara, the Kriya Zehilula. Why don't we say, what's the reason why we don't say Hallel on Purim? It's because Kriyasa Zehulula, that the Kriya of the Megillah is the same thing as Hallel, and we don't have to say it. What's the other reason that we're all familiar with? Is that because it's in Chutz La'aretz. A holiday, a commemoration of a nace that happened outside Chutz La'aretz, you don't say Hallel for. No, that doesn't, Ram doesn't say that. And he says, the Amr de Tori Evan, the Sirgit de Megillah Sham, so how does he paskin? So he says that it's a Hakadosh Be, because there's going to be a big naskanina over here. What happens if you live in a community, or let's say, you have no Megillah? You're stuck in Wichita, Kansas, there's no minyan, you don't have a Megillah, what are you supposed to do? So according to the Rambam, because Kriyaso Zehulula, so if you don't have a Megillah, Hilula, you should read the Megillah. You should say Hallel. And the second Nafkamina would be, is that, so if you don't have a Megillah, so already you're not going to go ahead and say Hallel, so the second Nafkamina is obvious. What if you have a nace that happened outside of Chutz La'aretz, the stomach, you could say Hallel. And then he says, wait a minute. The same Rambam has the unique Shita when it says Kedusha Sa'ares, Kedusha, right, L'shata L'asalavo, he says Kedusha Shata. That the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, Yushalayim itself, is Kadosh only when there's a Beis HaMikdash around. And therefore, it has the same Kedusha level as New York, for intents purposes. Okay, again, another whole idea of why we don't believe that halacha l'maisa. Of course, we don't go on Harabayas. We're choshish with the Ravid. But furthermore, is that there certainly is a Kedusha level. The Gemara already says in Gittin that if a woman wants to, a husband wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, a woman wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, so she would lose the rights to her get, or he would have to pay her get if she wants it. But a Yushalayim is Kadosh Mekolam, that they live in Beis Shemesh, and he wants to go to Yushalayim to live, so he has to go because of the Kedusha level. It doesn't have anything to do with the Beis Hamikdash. But so comes along the Minchas Chinuch, says there's a steer over here. On one hand, the Rambam says that it's equal to all of the lands, so then shouldn't it be that you could say Hallel at any time? He says, no. Chutz La'aretz Dinim Ki Yechidim. That's the difference. So look at the part I try to underline. The Shulchan Aruch Paskin says, Filim Medir Shalem HaKagoyin, Svar V'Ashkenaz, Ein Sholim Birchos HaShanim, Rak V'Shomei HaTzfilah. Mishum, the B'nai Chutz La'aretz, they cannot be Koveya, as they are allowed to in Eretz Yisrael. Different soymas where they add in Baruch Aleinu, different tefillos because they're yechidim. Nafkamina. Minchas Chinuch paskin that anybody outside of Chutz La'aretz is called a yochid. There's no din of tzibur unless you live in Eretz Yisrael. V'chein bazeh, hevanti atam, hi de amrinon betanis, tanis tzibur, v'chol v'nitke, kol akdavos bazeh, what? V'shim v'chol leko soimchus zvarov, tzaruch iyan, v'ein kan mekomal, l'inas daitim, v'shim kol Chutz La'aretz, habe dinon, ki chidim. And what is Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael is halachically called a tzibur, right? The real Jewish nation has to only live in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, how does that play out to what we're saying now? Number one, according to Rashi, that even though the Tanis, we commemorate the Tanis in the way that we do it, even though it's a little bit of half of a way that we commemorate the Tanis, is because until you have a robe of the Tzibur in Eretz Yisrael, then it doesn't have the same effect. But the Minchas Chinuch goes a step further and says there's no Tzibur outside of Eretz Yisrael. So there's no possibility that if you had a nes that happened outside of Eretz Yisrael for you to be koveya yantif for it, because it's a yachid. There's no tzibur that can make a fast day. I'm aware that, of course, even the Minchas Chinuch mentions this, the famous Chassam Sofer that says there's a mitzvah min haTorah, that if a community, but they're all yechidim, if a community experience Purim HaMainz and Purim Frankfurt, a Yeshua, then you do say, you're allowed to say Hallel with a bracha, he says, and it says a mitzvah min haTorah. But that they can't go ahead and say, yeah, all the Jews were saved in Frankfurt, so the entire Klal Yisrael has to celebrate this. No, that can't be. Only when you have Halachic Tzibur, which is only in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, when it comes to Yom HaTzmut, so we have to take it in a different vein and say, okay, I could go ahead and say, I understand, but that not everybody agrees to this, but you have to agree to the fact that there is a tzibur in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you could be kovei ayantif, which would be different than outside of Chutz La'aretz. This is the novel approach of the Minchas Chinuch here, which is of course a very important idea when it comes to the idea of Yom HaTzmut.
If there kovei in Eretz Yisrael,
would
that only be for
B'nai
Eretz Yisrael?
So in the second paragraph, so he says over here, no, that they determine what it is for everybody. Because they're the tzibur, they determine for the yechidim, right? So you have a guy sitting in Frankfurt, there's nobody living in Frankfurt now, let's say, so yeah, he has to be kovei what the tzibur says you should do in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So, that's number two. Number three is, of course, this famous idea that how can, this is like the famous argument that you'll hear, is the argument of the Herzl argument, I call it, right? Everybody knows, I think it was Rav Avram Yitzchak, I don't know if you, they both had pictures of Herzl in their offices. So those are some famous stories about Rav Yehuda when the pictures miraculously escaped. Somebody stole it once, somebody knocked it off on purpose and put it behind his desk so he shouldn't find it. And one time a guy came in, he was asking a shiloh to Rav Yehuda, and he went nuts. And he said, well, how can you have a picture? And he starts saying very, very negative words about Herzl. And he says, this is, you know, I always used to think this when I was a kid. He says, you could say a lot of things about him, but look at him. He's very machbid on not shaving. He says, he had nice payas, according to Kol HaLachas, he didn't shave. He says, okay, you know, he looks like a real good, nice rabbi. But that being said, so people complain and say, Herzl. I don't have to give you the history of who he was and who his grandchildren are now. It's not such a pretty picture. So how can it be? So that's already, we could already discuss that, the Nevi'im already speak about this, Rav Tzvi Yehuda speaks about this, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik has a whole essay on this.
Rav Benny,
sure. And that is that the Nevi'im already said, by Achav and by others, where you have to show respect to the Malchus no matter what. They tell over by, so I heard the story a number of times already, so it's got to be true, right? Rav Avinir says this, and I just heard this from Rav Melamed. So he says that Rav Tzvi Yehuda, when it came to Yom HaTzmut, so in the beginning he did not allow there to be any dancing in the yeshiva itself. Because he very much believed that the Talmidim and the Rav Tzvi Yehuda was very well known for going out to the streets and dancing with the regular folk. So showing that this is a Kedusha level, this is a holiday, and that's what you're celebrating. And then finally, in his later years, they allowed them to have something in the yeshiva very, very late at night. And then when they were done with that, they would go to the president's house, and they would dance there. So the first year this happened, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. They go to dance. Surprisingly, the president's sleeping, And the next year, 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, so some of the Talmidim said, Rebbe, you know, he's sleeping. So he said, it's good he's sleeping, because we're not really dancing out who the president is, but the fact that there's a Malchus Yisrael, it's a, he goes, and look, he said, yeah, but look who the president is. He's, oh my God, he's not this, he said that. Doesn't matter. He has Malchus. Whether or not he's something important, so that's not as important. Meaning, let me, source number 8, just skip to source number 8 for a moment. Source number 8 is the Gemara Menachos, Daf Sab Lechetz. Amar Rav Yana, Liolam Tiyah, Emas Malchus Alecha. We should always be afraid of the government. And he says, what's the Raya? The Raya is the Malachim. Vayad Hashem Haiso El Yoho. That he was nervous and he showed respect to Achav. Achav, the terrible king, he showed him respect. Why? Because he was Malchus. Even though he was going to give him a whole Gantz Maisa and tell him a whole Navi, a Nevuah of bad things, before that he had respect for him. This is throughout the Nevi, and we speak about this. This is something that's by Koresh, we have this idea as well, that respect was shown. So that's something that we have to take into account. That's, I think, somewhat of a much higher level, which we I don't think can appreciate as much. And that is that there's something to be said for the actual government itself. And that even though, as we said before, it might be Yisoshev Tzferes, and even as of this year, Rav Malamed said a few hours ago, he said, yeah, come on, we know what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. We know how things really don't appear to be great, whether it's Yerushalayim or how unfortunately it looks like the Western culture has really reached the Prime Minister's office. So how can you say that? He says, no, you have to appreciate something else. And you have to appreciate that there is, in some shape or form, a Malchus Yisrael. And that it has reached the level of a Salta de Gula, that this is leading towards Mashiach. So that we'll discuss in a moment. Before that, in source number 6, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is a famous Gemara as well. Rabbi Elazar says, Im Yisrael oisin tshuva negalim, that if Bnei Yisrael does tshuva, the Rebbeinu Shalom promises us that we're going to be redeemed. The Im Lav ein negalim. Rabbi Elazar's shita is that if, unless we do tshuva, there will be no Mashiach. Comes along Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua says, what are you talking about? In Ein Oisim Tshuva, Ein Negalim, is it true? And then there goes back and forth a debate. Zot HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us based on Psukim, we see that no, it's not true, and they go back and forth. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua fighting, no, this Pasuk says this Pasuk says that. It shows that Bnei Yisrael will be, even if they don't do Tshuva, the Rebbeinu Shalom is still going to have mercy on us. Right? The famous Machlokes, you say, Uvenei Yushalayim, Baruch HaShem, Bonei Barachim of Yushalayim Amen. We don't want the Rebbeinu Shalom to bring it. We want to do tshuva, but if not, so then he's last line that really seals the deal. So Rabbi Yeshua says, Elo Kvar, it says in Daniel, this pasuk, and he says, oh, b'shtatuk Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar couldn't say anything to that. So they quote that Rabbi Yashov, he writes in a sefer that he says that b'shtatuk, it appears from that, that Rabbi Yeshua, that Rabbi Elazar not only agreed to the opinion, it appears that not only did he agree to the opinion, that he said, it's not a fight anymore. I'm going to go ahead and adopt the opinion that you have of Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. And Rabbi Yehuda said, what do you mean, adopt the opinion? It shows, shasach means that it's not true. That even not through true, we can get the geula. This is, of course, something that has to be, I hope, very inspirational for us in the fact that, of course, we know, unfortunately, and to this point, Rova Am Yisrael, certainly in Eretz Yisrael, are not from. And many of the founders of the state, and many of those currently serving in the government, are not. But what's the raya? The Gemara tells us that it doesn't have to be negal, number one, via this idea. And that's really what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, it's a famous Rambam, because it's quoted a lot by the Lubavitchers, of who Mashiach is going to be, but the Ikra line is that he says, we don't know who it's going to be. Amru Chachamim, Ein Ben Oilam, El Yomos Mashiach. When it comes to Yomos Mashiach, the Chol Elu Hadvarim, Yosef Behem, Lo Yod Adam. Nobody knows. Ain't you, Achi you, Hadvarim, right? It's so not obvious to us until it's going to be obvious. Until the Novi comes down and says, I'm Mashiach, this is Mashiach. Gamma Chachamim, Eilem Kabbalah B'Dvarim Eilem. There's no Kabbalah that somebody could say, I know who Mashiach is. Eil, right? Lufi Hachra, Poiskim, right? Lufi Chach Yesh Lahem Machloikis B'Dvarim Eilem. There's a great Machloikis because there's no way you're going to find out. And you don't even know where it's coming from. And in another place, the Rambam first says that. That it could come in the craziest places. And that's when the Tziv says here in number 9. He says that in Parsha Shemos, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was appointed, so Bnei Yisrael were very upset. This is the guy that's going to be our savior? Moshe Rabbeinu? Right? He says, Lo kinog kit rug chas v'shalom aleihem b'nei Yisrael, talking about b'nei Yisrael. Why? Because, let's think who Moshe Rabbeinu was. This was a guy who sat in Paro's palace. And he was a regular guy, and he was doing a lot of plans and action and stuff. Nobody knew who he was really from. This is the guy who's going to lead on Mitzrayim. What about Aaron? Aaron, okay, he wasn't Aaron HaKohen then, but he was Ayushalom, Rodeyushalom. He was a great guy. So Zuft and Nitziv, we don't know. That proves us to the point, you never know where the Savior is going to come from. You never know where the Yeshua is going to come from. So this Rav Tzvi Yehuda develops, Rav Avner as well, into the idea, which is certainly Rav Avner Yitzchak speaks a lot about, that the sparks of Mashiach were even planned way before in the times of even Herzl. Yeah, it's true. Herzl himself wasn't, but he was, for some reason, he had the schus to start the wheels going. I still have to say, I don't know, I'm always very inspired that as non-frum as the government is, there are certain things, even tonight, when they had the tekes in the, at the Kotel. So Perez, who, as I'm sure you know, is not quite well known for his for his frumkeit, so he is trying to comfort the mourners, those that are remembering Nebuch, those so many soldiers and those in terror attacks. And Patty says, the only nechama I could give you is a pasuk. That was amazing. He was already wearing his yarmulke, so it didn't matter. And he quotes a pasuk that we know, that we unfortunately have to say many times at Levayas. And it's so inspiring that that the Rebbeinu Shalom promised, Machak Hashem Dima Akol Panim, that that's what he promised us in the future. So that being said, I don't know, I just find it to be still very inspirational. I mean, Perez was the one who reinstituted the famous Tanakh Club, which they have various speakers, most of them are from, who come and give a Tanakh shir in the president's I was going to say palace in the president's house once a month. So something should be taken for that. So that's over here what the idea is also for us to understand. That, and there also has to be this element of bitachon in the Ribbono Shelo. You know, we say in davening every day, we have Shmon Esrei. So obviously, the majority of the Shmon Esrei part is bakashos. We talk to the Ribbono Shelo, we have chisaron panasa, baruch aleinu. We talk to the Bnei Shalom, we have Chisorim Berufua, we need people who are Cholim. We don't have Yerushalayim, we don't have this, we have all this Chisorim. And then what do we say? After then we have a whole Shema Kalena where you can daven your heart's intent. And then we say, Moedim HaNachman Loch. He says, isn't it a stira Meneu Bey? Isn't it a stira, this is what Malamed says, isn't it a stira to say that you're saying, you're giving the Bnei Shalom praise, Shebachol Yom Yimadu, Yal Eith Erev Lachem Asarayim, you always do Nishim for the flaws for us. What did I just pray for? I just said we have all these cholim. Rebbeinu Shalom, I have a chisarna for us. Rebbeinu Shalom, Hashiva Shal Tenek Rishona. Because that's Muna. Yes, you are supposed to ask for bakashas, but you know what the bottom line is? The bottom line is that we have a Muna in Hashem that he might have an achalach. We have to believe that he doesn't need some of the flights all the time for us, even if we ask for bakashas. And that, of course, is certainly a foundation of Yahadus. In fact, he quotes Eliyahu Hanavi, he says in Har Carmel, he says that I want you to do a nation Ribbono Shalom, but I want the nation to be recognized by all. So the Mefarshim say, what do you mean recognized by all? You do a nation, everybody's going to recognize it. No, that's the problem. Many times nation and flaws happen, and we walk away from it. We don't see it as a nation. We don't see, and we just walk away from it. He says, that's the ikkar. It's to see something happen, like how Karmas and Medina, and to recognize that that's a nation. With all the chisronos of how it was got, still, it's a nation. There's a startling idea that is quoted in the Svarim of the Gra. So those that know the Gra was a tremendous, the Gra already had written about Ichdus of Mashiach, that this is the times of Mashiach, and in the days that he lived, when he so much wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, as we know, but when his first Talmidim went there. So almost 200 years ago, the first set of 10 Talmidim came into Yerushalayim. And they write in one of the Svarim attributed to a letter that was written to the Gra, how they come to this Beis Medrash, which they establish till today, the Beis Medrash HaGra, and they make the Pesach, the opening to it, and now it's open, and they write, Niftach Pesach v'mechitza. Right? This is the opening of Yerushalayim now. There are now Jews here, very, very exciting. And it's signed, unbelievable, signed, Be'esrim Ba'omer Hei'ir, 200 years ago. So, okay, you can look at it as a nothing, a coincidence, Well, you could say, wow, already in that time.
We,
what?
No.
No. Right. So, something in your slide. So, yeah. So the other thing is, certainly, that the line of Ichdel Mashiach is a line that's used many, many years ago. This was used by the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim, the son of the Chafetz Chaim, I think Rav Aryeh Leib is his name, so he pointed out that he was an aide, that when the Gra received the letter that the community of Petach Tikva was established, so he said, he turned to his son and he said to his son, oh, I guess in Yiddish, right, Zoy Ichdel Mashiach. This is it. This is the start. They're starting Eretz Yisrael. This is it. This is quoted already. It's not a line that we use nowadays. However, that being said, listen to this. If you've never seen this article, it really, really pays. Beautiful article by Rav Schechter in the Ikvei Atzon, Perek Lamed Beis, is just a snippet of it. So he says the following thing. Ism the Melchama, so one of the shilos that we asked before is, well, what about Heir? Is there any significance? Why did they make it Heir, if you think about it? Heir is not when the Melchama ended, so why did they make it Heir? He says, Melchama Nami. So we saw the Gemara Megillah tells us, Mari Wala Bar Gula, Bishvias, Omar Mitoch, Asidim Ligal Bishvias. One, what's going to happen? So there'll be a Shach Melchama, and that's going to be Ischalta Degula. Gemara uses the Lashon already, Ischalta Degula is going to be after Shach Melchama. Oh, so now you're going to say, oh, you Tsiyanim, you want to tell me about the Ischalta Degula, so make Heyar, not Heyar, after the war. So he says, no. So that's why he says, Sarch Ion, Divrei Mechsam Sofer. And the Minchas Elozer was quite famous, the Munkat Rav, before the Satmar Rebbe was on the scene, for being unbelievably anti-Tzioni, but he already in his tshuva talking about Issa the Mashiach, Asad the Geula. He says already, he goes, what are you talking about now? He goes, by Europe already, by that time already was Asad the Geula, that's nothing special. So he says, why is he, so what does he have a problem with? Rav Shafti says, Shahayu you sovereign, Shaf Shar Mechamas, the Europa, Shikamu Harbe Lazman Beef Ben David Gamkein Hayu Bechinas. He goes, that's not a Chaz Geula. What's a Chaz Geula? Sakhrav Shechter Eich Milchama Hashichur She Pritzas, right? That Hakamas of Adina. That was it. But why don't we do it before Nira Pashit? Shayu Haisa Simon Lakach She Esam Hakamas of Adina Haisa when Bemechinas Chaz Geula. That started this Chaz Geula. But when was it? And that's why, of course, the Torah is Rishus Yechoge Yontif Ledoros. Why the beginning of the Melchama? Very poshut. Because we don't have now Nevi'im. We don't have a Mashiach. We don't have the authority to, after Melchama, say, oh, this was the Yeshua. This is the day of the Yontif. Because this is the Yeshua. No. It's before. It's when it starts. That's when we do it. And he quotes it, Vings Rayas. But that's it. There's no Kiyam HaMikdash. So when's the Yontif? The Zman Azeh has to be the start of the Saltas Geula. The start of when we think that the Geula is coming, that's when it is. Not by Shas HaMelchama, when we're safe on Melchama. It's a very, and he develops that idea into the point that he thinks that Heyar is always that special time. And that's exactly what the Kol Mevaster here says in source number 11, that when it comes to the idea, he says, Ein Shafik, that Heyar Nikvul Yidei, Hanem Sholah, V'Chever HaKanetzes, which he thinks is considered Rova Tzibor, so is Dafka during that time, Zeichel Neis Yeshuas, right? So what was it? So one of the things interesting with Sri Yehuda also developed is the idea that America, days and weeks before, begged Israel not to declare a state, right? And there's beautiful documentation and books that are written by this. Abba Ibn, I think, has a book on this as well. And something happened. They decided, never, we should have this list. And nowadays, we sometimes don't listen to America, too. And they didn't listen. And that was the ultimate. So he writes to Yehuda that was such a nace that you got so many people not to listen to the American government and do something against it. Oh, so he says, and that they knew that in the godless of the rabbanim to make this a special day. So b'shita b'zinidun dinanah nogeah b'tzibur shekol Yisrael, and now that we're in Eretz Yisrael, it's considered kol tzibur, and that's why they have the power of establishing this hakamas hamadina. So. Meshulam Roth. Meshulam Roth is the one on the scene. He was one of the only ones to consider a posik ador, and he said, you see, Halal the Baraka. And he was the one who went originally against many of the posikim. Yosef Eschuv is on this as well, but he holds like the Sfaradim do, that you see half Halal without a Baraka like Rosh Chodesh. But they asked, somebody gave me an article years ago, I don't know how he found it. It was an interview with a Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. So they were asking him about, it was a certain, somebody Tzionian that was asking him, and he writes such beautiful things about how we have to respect the Medina, not only the Medina itself and the government. And they said, well, what about Hallel? So he says, to tell you the truth, in my yeshiva when I established, this was already 1988, when they established Yeshiva's Brisk in Chicago, that was for sure they had to say Hallel without a bracha. He says, why without a bracha? He says, to tell you the truth, on Rosh Chodesh, I also say Hallel without a bracha. It's not such a big deal. Why? Because he holds like the Gra, who says that you say, hey, so it's not, whatever, we're not going to have the discussion for now. But, so the Komavaster, so he came out with this idea. On that note, so when it comes to different ways of how we observe Yom HaAtzmaut in itself, it some would hold, this is what we see who the Shita was, is that how much do you have a moon in the Ribbono Shel Olam? So the famous Shaila came out that many people wanted to ask, what do you do when it comes to shaving? Can you shave? Can you get haircuts? But shaving, that was the big Shaila. So Rasi Yehuda said, I cannot pass from this halacha. However, tomorrow morning, Yom HaAtzmaut is going to be a test. And the test is going to be on your faces. Right? So anybody could say that who has a beard. Rasi Yehuda had a beard. So he, you know, he's not going to shave because he never shaved. And, what? Right. Is that true? So some came in yes, some came in no. And apparently then when they would see him, when he came in and they saw him, so he would look at the people and goes, oh, you have a muna. You have a muna. Tell her a story by Rav Dov Lior. Rav Dov Lior is a Rosh Hashiva in Beit El. So he says as follows. He survived the Holocaust. He's one of considered to be one of the closest Talmidim of Tzvi Yehuda. And so he shaved on Yom HaAtzmaut before this idea came out. And everybody ran over to him. They knew he was the closest Talmud of Tzvi Yehuda. He said, "New, where'd you get your psak from?" He goes, you want to know where I got my psak from? I'll tell you where I got my psak from. I lived through the Holocaust. He goes, anybody who lives through the Holocaust who doesn't recognize that this is a special day, I don't need a psak halacha. Of course today is a special day. Of course you could shave today, right? That was he tells over another story that when they asked for Herzog when he was chief rabbi what to do, and he gave him the psak halacha. So he told the guy, I'm telling you what the halacha is, but you're not allowed to publicize it. So he didn't publicize it, but then the next morning, and it's clean shaven, so everybody knew. So these are, it's very difficult. I have a very big difficulty because Baruch Hashem, I work for a very Tzioni company, and I'm not on that level yet. Maybe something will happen in the next few days. So I generally don't shave on Yom HaAtzmaut. There was one year I did, and I don't know, I don't. So I'm going to come into the office on Sunday morning, and I'm sure I'm going to get they're going to say to me, now we know why you're moving to Ramat Beit Shemesh. But that's because they take it as such a serious day. A day of, again, not just a day we say, oh, we're going to get married today because, you know, it's a break in the spirit. No, because of what it symbolizes. The point of tonight's year, I hope, was to really give an overview and understanding of what the religious significance of Yom HaAtzmaut should be and how, in some shape or form, it has to be recognized. And those that don't recognize it, so it's very, very, very difficult. If you speak about the Gedolim, certainly in that time, everybody recognized that it was something. It was a machloikus about Hallel. That's a halachic discussion. But not to mention anything. I think I told the story about somebody I once had an argument with when I was in my high school days. So he claimed to be a very close, not Talmud, a close relationship with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he says, I know for a fact that the Lubavitcher Rebbe says extra Tehillim on Yom HaAtzmaut. Hallel he doesn't say, but he certainly recognizes it as a special day. That's what I wanted to try to get across, whatever it is. And just to end what we started with, the Yisod Shebetzferes. It's not perfect. Nobody says that it's perfect. But it's the Yisod Shebetzferes. It's the foundation of creating what Emir Hashem will be. The Mashiach will come through what we've had experienced in a number of years, Baruch Hashem, and the Yisod Shebetzferes, Mashiach, Tzidkenu, and Meir Yamin.